Greetings. Thank you for paying attention and wanting the Word of Yahweh, the Word of Truth. So we'll begin with that prayer. But Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for life is more than abundant. We thank you, Christ Yahushua, for being our Savior, Redeemer, our Brother, our Lord. And to you we bow our knees as we go through to our Father, Mashiach, I mean, to our Father, Ab Adonai Yahweh, Elohim of hosts. Amen. Amen. We're going to go tonight, if we can do it. It's called Prepare Ye the Way for Yahweh. Let's go to Revelation 20. Chapter 20, verse 14. So this story is going to begin, like many things, at the end. And then it's going to show you what happens. You know, then we fast go backwards to find out what actually happened. So here's the end of the story, which is wonderful. And really, what we've got to understand is we've got to be able to understand the whole picture from Genesis to Revelation, the whole concept that we can sit down and explain to people rationally and logically. It goes from A to Z. And when you get into the traditions of men, it does not go that way. Traditions of men are not rational and logical, and they're not according to Scripture. There'll be one or two Scriptures, but they'll disagree with 10 Scriptures. And then it's just all over the place. I mean, it's just a word about, well, that doesn't really make any difference. And we get the two natures. I just was reading something about Christ, and he has to be all God, and he has to be all man. And he has two natures and not one nature. But these two natures must be one nature. And it just goes on and on and on. And I guess this is 1711 when I was reading this stuff that he's got. That just takes so much, not even faith. It just takes, you just got to turn off your mind.
Lunacy.
And become, just to be propaganda. It's propaganda that can be brought to you. It has no, it actually contradicts what you're even saying. But the Word doesn't do that. So chapter 20, verse 14. Let's look at the story. The story is, and death and Sheol were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone was not found in the book of life written, he was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first, and that could also be former, because we know there's actually three different periods of time. The former heaven and the former earth have passed away, and the sea is no more. And the holy city, New Jerusalem, saw I coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of the throne saying, lo, the tent of Yahweh is with men. The habitation of Yahweh is coming to the earth. And he will tabernacle with them. And they shall be his people, and he shall be Elohim with them. And he will wipe away every tear of their eyes, and death shall be no more, and grief and outcry and pain shall be no more. The first things have passed away. There's the culmination of where we're headed towards. And it's all based on the earth. And so you have to say, okay, people are not with Yahweh right now. Yahweh is going to be with people at some particular time, but people are not with Yahweh. Let's go to Isaiah 40, verse 1, at page 683. We as a people, and we're going to find out, people all through generations have been preparing the way for Yahweh. That is Yahweh finally arriving, because people have been preparing the way for Yahweh to come back to the earth, to abide on the earth. So Isaiah chapter 40. And this is a verse that we all know.
Hold on.
Chapter 40, verse 1. We're going to read through 5. And this will be in Matthew and Mark when it says, John the Immerser coming in saying, the prophet Elijah said, prepare you the way of the Lord. And most of the time we're going to think of it as who? Christ. Yeah, Christ. Because he was coming before Christ. But that's not what it was saying.
Huh, no.
Right here. comfort ye my people, saith your Elohim. Speak ye unto the heart of Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that accomplishes her warfare, that accepteth Israel's punishment, that she hath received at the hand of Yahweh according to the full measure of all her sins. A voice of one crying, in the desert prepare you the way of who?
Yahweh.
Christ also is preparing the way for Yahweh. You know, Christ is not the end all. Yahweh is the end all. Christ is preparing, as did John the Immerser, as did Paul, as do us. We're preparing the way for Yahweh. Make smooth in the waste plains a highway for our Elohim. Let every valley be exalted. Let every mountain and hill be made low, and the steep ground become level, and the chain of hills a plain. Then shall be revealed the glory of Yahweh, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. So you know, just saying, no, we got to just get a whole other mind picture. Let's just get rid of heaven. Let's get rid of hell. Let's get a picture of the earth where Yahweh abides on the earth. And so this, we're going to go into this, but this is so enlightening. Wherever Yahweh was, he was over the Ark of the Covenant. And what is really the Ark of the Covenant? It's an agreement. That's what a covenant is. The Ark of the Covenant means it's an agreement between who? Yahweh and man. I will stay in your presence if you obey my covenant, the Ten Commandments. Very simple. So it's an agreement. What was over that ark?
Sarah?
The light. The cloud. So that was the presence of Yahweh only in the Holy of Holies. Because that was the only place holy enough for his presence to be. And men couldn't enter in there because that would make it what? Unholy.
Yeah.
All right, but only once a year the high priest went in. But the light, and even the light behind the curtain was shining when the priest came in. Now think of that. Wherever Yahweh is, there's light. That is, he was there on the earth in part. So, he's going to be on the earth in whole, which is why we don't need the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Because he will be the light thereof. So think of him being over the whole earth as the light was guiding them and everything else. Yahweh is the light. So we don't need the sun, we don't need the moon. The Yahweh is the light thereof. Because he is abiding, he has arrived back to the earth, and he's in there in whole. One reason only, because the earth now is what?
Clean.
Holy. Mm. Completely holy. Because what we're going to find out, what defiles Yahweh is sin, death, evil, and that's finally gone when death and Sheol are thrown into the lake of fire. Now, and guess what? There's no more evil person around. There's no more lawbreakers. There's no more slanderers and defilers. They're all gone. So the whole earth has now been sanctified. Where we're as holy as Christ is holy, because he has made us holy, and there is no death anymore, because Yahweh can't be around death. Mm. It's not him. And so that's the story. That's the story we're trying to communicate to people, to start paint that picture where it's in our mind and say, you know, you have no idea what the word actually says. So that's what we're going to be doing. Now we go to Isaiah 6:8. And we're going to keep seeing that Yahweh is always sending people to make the earth holy. 6 verse 8. And here's Isaiah. And Isaiah, you want to read 8 verse 8.
Chapter
8? No, chapter 6 verse 8.
Okay. Then heard I the voice of my Yahweh saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me.
That's what you can do, and that's what we should all do. And that is purifying the earth. Our presence and our mouth and our actions are there preparing the way of Yahweh. If we keep silent in our actions and our mouth, we are not preparing the way for anybody. Actually, we're condoning it by being silent to the evil that is instigated. So there's always a push back against the evil. And we go to Acts 7, and we're going to see the whole history of sending. That's page 125. And so much of our problem is there's so much unlearning we have to do because we've been given so much garbage. Verse 2, chapter 7, verse 2. And he said, "Brethren and fathers, hearken, the Elohim of glory appeared unto our father Abraham while he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee forth out of thy land and from among thy kindred, and come into the land which unto thee I will point out." So he was there with foreign gods. Yahweh saying, "Get out." And so he's sending them to the land of Canaan. We see in verse 14, and Joseph was sent. And Joseph, sending forth, called for Jacob his father and all the kindred consisting of 75 souls. And we know that Joseph was sent to Egypt in order to save the Israelites from the famine. And who sent him? Well, Yahweh sent him. How about Moses in verse 34? "And I have indeed seen the ill treatment of my people as in Egypt, and unto their groanings have I hearkened." This is Yahweh speaking to Moses. "And have come down to rescue them. Now therefore come, I will send thee into Egypt." So there is Moses preparing the way for Yahweh. We got John the Immerser, which is Matthew chapter 2. Go to that. That's a page 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. Or chapter 3, I'm sorry. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. And the senders, and that's us, are going through delivering the truth and telling people to turn. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. That's what the message is. That's what Moses was doing. That's what Abraham was doing when they left their gods and started another generation. And we see here, "And in those days came John the Immerser, proclaiming in the wilderness of Judea, saying," what?
Repent.
Repent. And repent means to turn, change directions. This is the whole United States. We go back. There's an evil side, and we're going to see that in the Garden of Eden. You know, there's good or there's evil. Which one are you? This is the whole story. You're either good, and we're going to find out. If you're good, you become an immortal because you ate of the tree of life. If you're evil, what happens to you? You become immortal, and you will perish. So here's our decision: become immortal or mortal. Choose good or choose evil. And this is our message to everybody. And it's very flat. You don't want to serve Yahweh? You don't have to.
You have freedom of will.
You're immortal. Adios. And when you go to you die, it doesn't matter. You know? Next. And so this is very important too. And we're going to go into here. We are like gods. God gave Adam and Eve a chance to choose. Right? When we have children, we're giving them life, but we cannot guarantee what they're going to choose. And just like when Yahweh breathed life into man, he gave them that choice. And obviously, you know, Cain chose death.
Yeah.
Why Abel chose life. And so we have the same power as the image of Elohim. We're made in the image of Elohim, that we can go ahead and see children choose life or death, mortality or immortality. What a privilege that is, actually. What a privilege that Yahweh has put us in as his example, as a creator. But here it is. "Repent ye, for the kingdom of the heavens hath drawn near, or the reign of Yahweh is drawn near. For this is he who was spoken of through Isaiah the prophet, saying, a voice of one crying aloud in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh. Remember, Yahweh is never in the New Testament, because it's Greek. And so he says, this is Isaiah, right? So you want to know what the word is, go to Isaiah.
Yeah.
And it's Yahweh. So this is Yahweh. And people don't do this. And so it's very important to stress that with people. I was just listening today to Charles Stanley. He's a real famous Bible teacher, and just taught a whole half hour on the woman caught in adultery, which never happened.
Yeah.
And I just thought, wow, this is how blind you are. You're teaching on something, and you're supposed to be this great meek man. You pray before Yahweh each day, and I mean, all these accolades on how humble he is. And you teach a doctrine of men. Wow, for a half hour. I'm just like, and there's really something wrong here. You say one thing and you do something, everybody knows this. Well, it doesn't make any difference. This is where his mind's made up and where men go, and you're like, so be it. Let's stop there. We know Christ in John chapter 5. Yahushua came and said, repent. Chapter 5, this is where he was sent. I'm sorry, we haven't said repent yet. John chapter 5, Yahushua was sent. By who? By his Father, for goodness sakes. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath life, age, and body. The word apostle means one who is sent. That's what the word means. Hath life, age, and body, and into judgment cometh not, but has passed over out of death, of mortality, into immortality. That's the story. Mortality or immortality. Which one are you going to choose? Why, the church teaches everybody has immortality. It's just where you're going to end up. So then they have to come up with the configuration of hell. Now, verse 30. And I cannot be doing of myself a single thing. Just as I hear, I judge, and my judging is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of him that what?
Sent me.
We go into verse 36. But I have as my witness something greater than John's, for the works which the Father hath given me, that I should complete them. The works themselves which I am doing bear witness concerning me, that the Father has sent me. Okay, Elijah, you want to read 37 and 38?
Okay. And so the Father who sent me, he hath borne witness concerning me. Neither a sound of him at any time have ye heard, nor a form of him have ye seen. In his word ye have not within you abiding, because as touching him whom he sent, in him ye believe not.
Sent. Another question off the subject, though. What religious organization would say they're the Pharisees of today? Somebody has to be. The scribes and the Pharisees, but nobody would. Isn't that ironic? Because he's always talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. We know the 70 were sent out by Yahushua, and that's in Luke, we won't go there, Luke 10, verse 1. And obviously we know Paul was sent. And that's in Acts 26, 15 to 18. Peter was sent. Everybody is sent. We are sent. And so we're there to prepare the way of Yahweh. By our own lives, and with your mother or your father. And when they're doing things wrong, you're going to speak up and say, that's not what Yahweh wants. And we have to, at some particular time, to say, unacceptable. You know, if you keep up this lifestyle, well, I can't be associated with you. Are you willing to do that? Because I am holy, and we're trying to make this earth holy for Yahweh. All right. So it's that compromising that we end up choosing family over Yahweh. Because I want that family relationship, and that's what Adam did with Eve. Adam chose Eve over Yahweh, and that's called adultery. All right, Yahweh is a jealous God, And he wants our total 100% affection. So it's Yahweh, and then it's my wife, and then it's my, you know, my family members. But if any of those ever, you know, conflict with Yahweh, they got to go. Very simply, that's it. If it comes down to that, that's their choice. If they don't want to get on board, I'm going with Yahweh. Ah, this is so great because I'm looking at man. Think of this earth and thinking that Yahweh, who's coming to live on the earth, actually gave it to us. That's Psalms 8. Let's just think about this for a minute. Psalms, a psalm, the 8th Psalms. I'm sorry.
You have a page number?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's page 532. This is a great psalm to memorize. And so I did an abbreviated version, which can make it very simple. But you can say, "Oh Yahweh, my Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy splendor upon the heavens. When I view thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, moon and star, which thou hast established, what was weak man that thou should make mention of him, or the son of the earth born, that thou should have set him in charge?" Wow. "That thou hast made him a little less than Elohim, crowned with glory and honor, shouldest make him him." Now think of that. Yahweh has crowned us with glory and honor. The potential we have is phenomenal.
I'm sorry, what?
Psalms 8, verse 3.
Psalm 8.
"When I view thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, moon and star, which thou hast established, what was weak man that thou shouldest make mention of him?" So just think of this. You know, you look at these, this debris, like the Obama and the, you know, Hillary Clinton, they're just absolute enemies of righteousness. But then you say, what is Troy? Here is weak man, the son of the earth born, that thou shouldest set him in charge. Yahweh has set Troy in charge and Francis in charge. Mm-hmm. That thou shouldest make him a little less than God or Elohim. With glory and honor shouldest crown Troy. Let's think of it. You've crowned Elijah with glory, the creator of all this, and of everything, has crowned Elijah with glory and honor. Wow. I mean, it's just like, wow. We have no concept. You know, we were talking about the song 10,000 years. Heck, if we just lived 6,000 years, we would have lived from the beginning of time till now. And that's nothing. Mm-hmm. Think of living 6,000 years. Think of what has happened for 6,000 years, and that's just getting started. And that's where we're going to be. Yeah. You know, with our Creator. So how did this all come about? You know, obviously, the pollution of the earth. So once Adam and Eve chose death, which is really evil, and here's just the concept. You have to say, what's the deal with the knowledge of good and evil? What is that? What is that? Knowledge, well, knowledge isn't bad, but it's good, it's not evil, but it's evil. And the word is ra. And so we're going to teach you some Hebrew words today. What is evil?
Ra.
Ra. That's a Hebrew word, R-A. Very simple, ra. And ra is hating Yahweh. So I'm going to choose, you're going to choose to love Yahweh, which is good, or you can choose to hate Yahweh. I'm going to give you that choice. My children. And that's what we do with our children, right? Mm-hmm. When you have children, we're giving them a choice. We have no idea how they're going to come out. But we present to them, and some of them take it, and some of them reject it. Some of them are going to die. They're mortals. They decide to be mortals. But Ra is the evil. And then the pollution starts happening, the polluting of the earth. And so the shedding of blood, that was in Genesis 4:10. You know, when Cain, let's just look at that. Page 37. And that's the first time blood is used. And the word blood is the word dam. That's the Hebrew word. But it's dam. So small, or they're calling it a small a, long a, small a. Is that English? Little u over the a. What is that? We got dam or dom.
Oh.
The strong a is the line right over the a.
Yeah.
And then, you know, silent, or not silent,
soft.
Soft is, and that's the word dam, or dom.
Yeah.
And so, Genesis 4:10. And what a figure this is. And this is the polluting process, which is murder. And we think people have to be justified that they're somehow their parents, they had bad parents. Did Cain and Abel have the same parents?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they was a necessity. Cain didn't have anything to eat. Well, that isn't fair either.
Mm-hmm.
The heart of man can just turn. And Yahweh has given him the ability, mankind, their ability to spit in his face. Wow. And so there it is on verse 8. Wait a minute here. No, verse 10. And he said, what Yahweh said, and what hast
thou done?
With a voice. This is great personification, the figure. The shed blood of thy brother is crying out to me from the Adama, the ground. You know, so the ground now is polluted. And so Yahweh's presence cannot be on the earth. He can be in part on the earth. And so there's and we're going to see the blood, the Adam, the soul. He says the soul life or the soul is in the Adam, the Adam. And so that's Leviticus 17, page 143. And that's why blood is required. And nephesh can also be life. The life is in the blood. And as any physician knows, yes, mm-hmm. Yep. Once the blood quits flowing, guess what? You're dead. The life is gone. Replace it with something else, not going to work. Okay, Leviticus 17, verse 10. Can I tell you that? Yeah, page 143. And what man soever there may be of the house of Israel, or the sojourner in the midst, that partake of any manner of blood, and that is dom, then will I set my face against the person that partaketh of the blood, will cut him off from the midst of the people. For as for the life, and this is the word, if you look at the word, the footnote, E, it's nephesh, or soul. For the nephesh, as for the nephesh of the flesh in the dom, it is. Therefore have I given it unto you upon the altar to put a propitiatory covering over your souls, that be lives. For the dom it is which by virtue of soul maketh propitiation. For this cause have I said to the sons of Israel, not a person from among you shall partake of dom. Even the sojourners that sojourneth in your midst shall not partake of dom, because that is the life that he's put in us. We go to...
What is propitiation again?
Yeah, this is great. Propitiation, this is to find favor from sin. And so we've got propitiation, expiation, reconciliation. So propitiation means favorable. And so when I have sinned, I've got to get back into the grace. And so what I do is I try to undo what I did. And that makes it favorable. So if somebody breaks your window, what do they got to do?
They've got to replace it.
And first they've got to say they're sorry. Then they've got to replace it. And then say you're sorry again if it was intentional. And then it becomes favorable. It's done. And so when we sin, we have to have a propitiation, because now we're broken. We're in that death mode for Yahweh, and we've been separated from Him. Very simply, there's a chasm here. The propitiation, which has to be a guiltless substitution. So it had to be a lamb or something to that effect that had no guilt whatsoever, and it's going to die because that's what you should have done. So his blood is going to be spilled because yours should have been spilled because of this. And that gives us propitiation, which restores us back to our position as children. And if we won't go there, but in Numbers 19, verse 11 through 13, the death is a human death, not animal death. The human death is unholy to Yahweh. A person could not come back to the temple for 7 days. If they did not clean themselves, they could never come back. You're an outcast from Israel. So in 3 days you had to do a cleansing, and then the seventh day you had to do a cleansing. So we have to say, okay, what is the significance of human death? Why does Yahweh separate that? Because on the contrary, we have death, animals dying at your altar every day.
Yeah.
I mean, so death, it seems like that's just part of it. Blood's everywhere. But that blood is a propitiation, making it favorable for the sins of Adam and Eve, for that separation that they ended up doing. Now Christ becomes that propitiation for us, a one-time sacrifice. But we look at verse, and let's go to Genesis. Well, we know about the tree of good and evil. Let's look at that word ra. So that's in Genesis 2. But we're going to go to Genesis 6:5, page 38. You know, it's kind of interesting because it's like hiring somebody for your company, and they have the potential to go the highest position except for my position. And they end up sabotaging themselves by trying to take their own company. And that's Satan. Start their own business. You know, that's Adam and Eve. No, we're not going to do it your way. We saw what you got here. I think we can do this.
We can do it better.
And they break off. Yeah. And everything was available to them, the whole world. And they don't realize, no, you've just chosen mortal stance, and you're all going to die. And that's why we can't coexist. You're a rebellion, and rebellion cannot coexist with Yahweh. And, okay, 6:5. And Yahweh saw that the great was the raw evil of wicked of man in the earth, and that every purpose and device of his heart was only raw all the day. There is mankind just in choosing to be evil, and that's when the flood wiped them off. Mm-hmm. We go to 8, verse 21. So you look at this word, and that's the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
And so every thought was only to hate Yahweh?
Yeah, and to rebel against Yahweh. So what is evil but going against Yahweh? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the definition of evil, going against Yahweh. And so he chose, no. And you see Obama and people like that too. I mean, Hitler, anybody else, they just do this to the Creator. And 8:21. It's nice to be able to see these words. Let's see here. And Yahweh smelled a sacrificing odor, a satisfying odor. So Yahweh said to himself, I will not again curse any more the ground for man's sake, although the device of the heart of man is raw evil from his youth. Wow. You know, isn't that just saying what we're struggling with and what men are struggling with and people who give in to lasciviousness. Let's learn that word. And lasciviousness comes from the word license. Mm-hmm. And what license is liberty.
Yeah.
But it's liberty for the flesh. And that's why your lasciviousness means you're doing whatever you can, fornication, everything else, because you have this license, and mm-hmm. and no, you can't do that. Let's see. So really, Yahweh gave mankind a choice to choose good, love Yahweh, become immortal, choose evil, hate Yahweh, become mortal, and die. Okay, we know about the parents. The earth became polluted. Earth becomes holy. Yeah, so the earth becomes holy after death and Sheol are destroyed. No need of the sun. Yahweh abides on the earth in whole. And this is very important because in Christ's 1,000-year reign, death is still present. Is why Yahweh is not back. And so Yahushua is still cleaning it, preparing the way of Yahweh. And that's 1,000 years. And so whenever you see a prophecy, which I can go through some of these, and it'll talk about Yahweh being king, but there's still death present. So that has to be Yahushua. You know, Yahweh is king through Yahushua, but Yahweh's still not on the earth because death is still around. Now, they might live to 1,000 years or 100 years, because in the 1,000-year reign, there are going to be immortals, which will be us, and there'll be mortals, There'll just be no adversary. But the mortals are going to be able to choose. And as we know in Revelation 20, when the adversary is let loose, what happens?
War.
Yeah. What kind of war? Who causes it?
Adversary and people.
Yeah. And as the sand of the sea, they come up against Jerusalem, Zion. And what happens? Fire comes down from heaven, puts them down. Death. Yeah, so people have been living under a perfect kingdom. Because Yahushua was the king, and was that good enough for him?
No.
So you look at the heart of man, and so good and evil is always through this whole book. You know, so who are you? Are you immortal or are you immortal? What are you choosing? And we know about the repenting. All right, so let's just go into Christ telling people to repent. That's page 3 on Matthew 4:17. Did we really do that? I think we already did that. You know, Christ also told people to repent. So he's also our high priest and lamb, Christ Yahushua, and our mediator. And this is so important. He's our intercessor. Now, if you intercede for Wendy to Yahweh, are you a mediator? Yeah. If you intercede, you're automatically a mediator. You're mediating between Yahweh and man. And so even there, let's just go there. 1 Timothy 2:5. I don't think I put the page number there, but we'll get there and show it. You know, how this has been turned up on its ear, which should not be surprising. That's page 214 in the New Testament. Not surprising for our adversary and for the hearts of men, where the people are so wicked from the youth on up. And so they could be on a religious program and just be robbed to the core. Because the Pharisees were. While they were going to the temple, they're crucifying the Messiah. You know, they got the signs on, they got the jewelry on, the high priest, the people going to the Holy of Holies, crucified the Messiah. Wow, didn't see that coming. What a counterfeit. But verse 5, for there is one Elohim, one mediator also between Elohim and men, the man Christ Yahushua, who gave himself a ransom on behalf of all. The testimony is in his own fit times to which I am being appointed proclaimer and apostle. Truth I speak, I utter no falsehood, a teacher of nations in faith and truth. But we have Christ right now as a mediator and intercessor for us and for all of mankind, still mediating the position between Yahweh and men. And so when you get into this Trinity stuff, as you can see, it negates all these scriptures. Mm-hmm. It negates the whole word, the whole concept. Let's go into Revelations then. So we look at Christ as being the ultimate, you know, sacrifice. But there's a part of Christ that people, you know, they're living in the Gospels. Well, one thing is interesting, the word repent or to turn, look at the Hebrew Greek word is all the way through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it's never in the Gospel of John. And so it's very important to look, and most people have built their house in the Gospel of John, in most Christians, and disregard the rest of them. Which should be just the opposite, because they don't realize that so much of it is John, it's a figure, and speaking in different character. Because we know John the Immerser, who always said repent, never said repent in the Gospel of John. He just went in and witnessed to Yahushua. He was a witness to Yahushua. So you have to say, well, that's interesting. So if you ever want to, I've got the paper on, you know, the Gospel of John. You need to go through this. And if anybody, you can straight people out, is read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and don't read John until after you read those three. Don't read John first. Because the story, these three agree with each other. And that's where they're the ones who show you that Christ was only in Jerusalem one time in his ministry. And so if Christ, how old was Christ when he started his ministry?
About 30.
Yeah, that's right, 29. So just say 29. He wasn't 30, he was 29. And we know if his birthday was Tishri 1, and he died on Pentecost, not Pentecost, on Passover, then the holiday before that is Tishri. And so he had to be 29 on Tishri 1. So Tishri is 6 months before we get to, that's the last festival. So think of Tishri as being September, October, and then Passover is March. So the last time Christ was in Jerusalem before he started his ministry would have been in Tishri. So he turned 29. The first Tishri 1 is where you shout on the first day. It's also a new moon. And then Tishri 10 is what? Now give me that. The day of propitiation. The only day the high priest goes into the temple. That's the only day of the year. That's it. So this is the seventh month, which is so holy. And then everybody's cleansed, and then you have the day of rejoicing, the festival of rejoicing, the Feast of Tabernacles. It's very important to grab these things. And that was 7 days of rejoicing. And then he begins his ministry. And probably go gets baptized. So he just turned 29, celebrating the best month there is. And that's actually, which is so cool. See that time? Tishri is the first, is Genesis 1:1, is Tishri 1. Now think about that. Man wasn't made till Tishri 6, the sixth day. Adam and Eve, and people try to, the Jews try to force them to say, well, Adam was made on Tishri 1. No, it can't. No, not after 6 days. You know, so Tishri 1, and the 1 is a number that cannot be divided. But I think, well, why was Yahushua on Tishri 1 and Adam and Eve on Tishri 6? Is because they hadn't passed the test yet. They're going to sin. And so they can't have a perfect number like 1. 1 is indivisible. 1 is 6 is the number of man, and they flunked. And then, but the true man's coming, instead of being born on Tishri 6, the second Adam, he's going to be Tishri 1. And that was, you know, that's Genesis 1:1, which is just great. That's off the subject here. But you start thinking about that, and now he starts his ministry, 40 days in the wilderness. That's a month and a half. And so when he gets done, he's got 4.5 months left. And then he, you know, just wakes up by saying repent. So thinking he just wakes up all of creation with his miracles. And so when people say he went into, in John, it will, I'm getting off the subject of it. In John, it says he first right started his ministry going into the temple and knocking things over. Well, he can't be. Right? He didn't come, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he didn't come in Jerusalem until Passover. So what is this all about? And so we have to look at that. What is the symbolism there that we have to do with that? Because if he started his ministry like that, they would have stoned him right there in Jerusalem. So remember, Jerusalem was the worst place ever to be. That you who stoned the prophets. That's why you stay away from Jerusalem until you're ready to be killed. Very simply. It'd be like Martin Luther going to Rome. What happens if Martin Luther would have went to Rome? No, so he's always in Galilee and outskirts. So Yahushua was always in the outskirts preaching the word. And people are hearing this, and the scribes and Pharisees went to him. And there's this way for him to come to Jerusalem. But those are things important to get those foundations. But the only way you can do it is you have to read the three Gospels. And you have to say, okay, he's here. I write that down. And this verse, he's here. I write that down. And I just map his where he's went. And now I go to start off with Mark. It's the shortest Gospel. And then go to Luke. And then go to John. And just map. Here. That's what I did. And you see all in there consistent. And then when you get the Gospel of John, a whole other story, narrative. On Revelations. So here is, instead of three entities, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is Yahweh, chapter 4. And the seraphims are falling down saying, Holy, Holy, Isaiah 6, 3.
Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh.
The fullness of the whole earth is his glory. Say it now, Isaiah 6, 3.
Holy, holy, holy is
the outpost. The fullness of the whole earth is his glory. The cherubims are singing that. the two, you know, so think of it. When we start praying, think of it. 24 elders are alive right now.
Yeah.
Now, let's think about this world's going on up here. You have seraphims or cherubims. That's all they do is holy, holy, holy. There's six of them. You got 24 elders. You have six dynamite messengers who are going, who are in the book of Revelations and doing the signs. And you have regular messengers. And so you have this whole community. And people will say, do you believe in extraterrestrial beings? Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Those are called messengers. They're terrestrial. They're not on this earth. They're not celestial. Extra-terrestrial. I should say that. They're not terrestrial. Yeah. Or is it extra-celestial beings? You know, they're always looking for somebody on another planet.
Yeah.
Are there other people? You know, absolutely. But look at this. And five, and I saw upon the right hand of him that was sitting upon the throne, which is who? Yahweh, a scroll written within and on the back, sealing up with seven seals. And I saw, and what happens when these seven seals are open? Judgment comes. Half the earth is going to die. And guess who's going to unleash this? Christ, Yahushua. Is he right? Yes, he is worthy. And that's it. Well, not my Jesus. Not my Jesus. And so here's the New Age. Unconditional love. And my Jesus just loves. He wouldn't do something like that. And so what they've done is they've fabricated. And anybody who's a Catholic, not my Mary, so I'm going to pray to Mary. Now, is that going to do them any good? No. Is Mary alive? No. Now, they can pray all they want. That's all right. But it is. And when somebody goes to meet Christ and said, I prayed 25,000 Hail Marys. And he's like, and you pissed us off 25,000 times. What? You got an idol. For God's sakes. In verse 2, and I saw a mighty messenger proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to unloosen the seals thereof? And no one was able, in heaven or on earth or under the earth, to open the scroll or to look thereon. And I began to weep much, because no one worthy was found to open the scroll or to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, do not weep. Lo, the lion that is of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath overcome to open the scroll and the seven seals thereof. And we know he opens the seven scrolls, and half the earth dies. And why is he, what's the same message? Let's go to 14, Revelation. You know, Christ, Jeremiah is saying repent. Moses is saying repent. You know, everybody is saying turn, turn, turn to prepare the way of Yahweh. And chapter 14, verse 6, what is this messenger saying? So read that loud, Esther.
And I saw another messenger flying mid-heaven, having the eight divine glad messages, to announcing unto them God dwelling upon the earth, even to every nation in the tribe, tongue, and people.
Go ahead.
Same with a loud voice.
Say it with a loud voice.
Fear God with give him glory, because the hour of his judging is come, into whom aids him that he made the heaven and earth and sea fountains of water.
There you go. So there it is, the same message. And so here's the messenger who's doing the same thing. Okay, and the important thing too, running out of time, is Zion, you know, people say Zion, it's Zion, is the habitation of Yahweh. It's the habitation of Christ, and it's always on, the only Zion is on the earth. So that's where Christ is going to be. And so the Christ reign in Zion, that's Psalms 2, 6, 110, 2, and Revelations chapter 20. Also Psalms 132, 13 to 18, Isaiah 4, 2 through 6. And then let's just go to Yahweh's habitation. We'll end there. Isaiah 2, 649. We don't know any of this. You know, the church teaches none of this. So you're like, where am I? It's like you said, am I a mushroom? You know what a mushroom is? So in the United States, if you grow mushrooms, they can't have sunlight. And what you give them is manure. And so you say, what am I, a mushroom kept in the dark and fed manure? That's right. That you're a mushroom. And that's what Satan has tried to feed us. Yeah. Chapter 2. And I kind of clam instead of saying manure, I'll say, bull manure. Okay, chapter 2, verse 2. Now, this is the story. This is the whole story. But it shall come to pass in the after part of the days that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be set up as the head of the mountains and be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall stream thereunto. Just picture all that. God. No sun, just light, 24 hours a day. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us ascend unto the mountain of Yahweh, unto the house of Elohim of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways. That's the good, the fruit of good instead of evil. And we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Yahweh out of Jerusalem, and he will judge between nations and be umpire to many peoples, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation against nation shall not lift up sword, neither shall they learn any more to make war. That's the whole story. So we have to have that clear in our minds. Okay, we'll go ahead and hear from our Heavenly Father who had given us the Spirit, which is just phenomenal, that the only reason we've got it is because we have been made holy. Otherwise, there's no way it can coexist with me, with my flesh. Like Wendy said, you're walking praying for people, and I'm thinking how you can rob a bank. I'm just like, what the hell? I'm always trying to solve problem solve. And all of a sudden, where's my mind going? I'm just like, golly. And so you're like, sorry, Lord. We got to check back up. So we've got that nature inside us. But to think of that, Yahweh has given, Yahushua died in order that we should live for him, made us holy enough to receive what kind of spirit? Holy Spirit. Holy Ruach. And it's not because of our righteousness, because of his righteousness. And what a time that is. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for giving us all this, for your word, that we can give it to other people, and that we can prepare your way in our lives so people can see that Lisette is preparing the way of Yahweh, that Francis and Troy are preparing the way of Yahweh. Everybody can observe and say they're preparing the way of the Creator.